Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know our company. We're that people dashboard company allowing all of you HR leaders at small and medium-sized companies to become more data-driven and make smarter workforce decisions. We know most of you out there are pulling messy spreadsheets from all your different systems, HRIS, ATS, engagement performance. I can't even include all of them because some of you are using a lot of HR systems. But what I do know is that you've told us that process is painful, it's manual, and it's time-consuming. Well, look no further because Employee Cycle has a people dashboard with pre-built integration connectors to all of the most popular systems all of you out there are using. Systems like Bamboo HR, Namely, Reflective, 15.5, Greenhouse, you name it, to be able to pull all your data into one real-time, streamlined, and beautiful dashboard to automate your HR reporting and analytics. Feel free to go to employeecycle.com to check it out, learn more, and schedule a demo. We'd love to chat with you. You can also sign up for a free trial. Well, that's enough about me and Employee Cycle because today we have an awesome guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Timo Sanritter. He's the Chief People Officer at AllCloud. And today we're going to discuss how to maintain human connection during remote work. Timo, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Timo!
Welcome!
I'm excited. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited as well. So, Timo, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, and that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
You know, it's a true story and an anecdote out of my life, right? I was one of those people that many years ago, we started a company, and we had some very, very smart people. They were all very technically inclined and knew how to code, and I was the only one that couldn't code, so I ended up doing the business side of it. I was a lawyer by trade at that point and thought, you know, maybe I just go and learn HR. It can't be that complicated. And I ended up reading, I think I tell everybody, I read 53 books on HR and was very good at quoting theories afterwards, but still didn't know anything about it. And then fell in love with it because it's so gray. It's never truly black and white. And so it was a little bit of, you know, falling on my face by trying to learn it in a theoretical way. And then being submerged in it by having to do it in a practical way, that I just love HR or employee success or whatever you want to call it, because it deals with people. And so this was the last, I guess, 20 years or so. Had you asked me in the late 90s if I would ever be in HR, I would have definitely shook my head and I couldn't have imagined. Now I can't imagine being anywhere else.
That's awesome. And by the way, if you ever are super bored one Friday or Saturday night and you want to send me a list of all those HR books that you read, I can't promise that I'm going to read any of them, but I at least want to know the titles.
We'll do, certainly.
All right. So today our topic is how to maintain human connection during remote work. So before we talk about strategies and efforts to really maintain human connection, I first want to ask you, why do you believe human connection is so important? And how do you really look at human connection?
So for me, I mean, at the end of the day, right, regardless of our workplace setting or our cultural setting or even our leisure settings, I think we as humans do not want to be alone in general, right? I mean, we are, you know, we're not meant to be alone for indefinitely. And so understanding connections and camaraderie and this tribalism, I think is very important, even from a social setting perspective. You know, when all of this happened on a global level, this global pandemic with COVID-19, I think a lot of us, we realized that, wow, we're going to work from home and it's exciting and it's flexible, but we're losing some of that human touch. And I think ultimately humans crave that human interaction with others. Now, of course, it's nice to spend more time with your family at home, but I also believe it's important to get into outside settings. I think it's important for our own mind is important for our own development, emotional and cognitive development, to have interaction that are in person and not just over a screen.
So I totally agree with you, but to play devil's advocate here, it seems as though a lot of companies have increased engagement since COVID started, And also, it seems like a lot of us are using Google Hangouts, Teams, Skype, Slack, Zoom, all these different video chat platforms to get that human interaction, and so much so where people are feeling fatigued because they want to turn off the video. So how do you balance the two, and how do you look at both of those happening at the same time?
Yeah, so for me, I think there's a lot of communication tools, right? And I mean, I grew up in technology and started in communication and so forth. And so I do like any tools that we can use. I just don't think those tools should replace the actual human interaction. So it may help us with the productivity. It may help us even with, you know, cost, because we don't have to travel to business meetings. We can do them over Zoom or any other platforms that you mentioned earlier. We have a chat messaging function that make it instant. We don't have to write emails or letters. And so those are nice and dandy, but that's just tools, right? That's just mediums to make it more efficient and effective. I think from a mental model, as humans again, I think that human interaction, being in the same room, having that laughter, having the chance to look into each other's eyes in person, shaking somebody's hands, or even drawing things up on a whiteboard when you're in the room with people, I think there's no tool as of today that can replace it. I do actually believe, and I think there's science behind it, that when you can shake somebody's hand, or when you hold your partner, like your wife or your significant other, or your child, right? I mean, there's something that happens in us, and I don't know the technical term for it, but there's something that happens, but that simply can't be replaced with any technology yet.
So for the people who are listening and not listening as well, that actually prefer to be alone, or I want to use the word introverted, even though that can mean a lot of different things. But for people who believe that they actually appreciate this time by themselves and not being in the office and getting to do things on their own schedule, do you believe they're actually missing out on something, even though they believe that they might not be?
Well, I mean, you don't know what you don't know, right? So in my stage, and I had this discussion with my wife the other day, I could not imagine not having children, right? I mean, we have three wonderful children. And again, I sometimes feel bad for people who don't have kids. But then I remind myself, well, once upon a time, I didn't have kids. I didn't know how it is to have kids. And so did I really miss anything? So if I'm sitting at home and I'm actually liking that setting, and I don't necessarily like people, and, you know, in our world, a lot of times, and, you know, software engineers, and I don't want to profile anybody, but there's a lot of introverted software engineers that simply like to be by themselves and be productive that way. And so I'm not saying it's not good for them the way it is now. I just believe from a big scope picture, I think there's probably more people that crave human interaction that now are looking at this situation, even as COVID, you know, rises again in terms of cases, and looking at risk. Well, do I want to be depressed, or is there a chance I want to have COVID? So do I want to try to go out and actually start meeting people, or do I want to stay home and maybe increase that level of depression? Again, there's definitely times where even I, who's seemingly extroverted, like Timo time, where I'm by myself, where I read a good book, one of the 53s, maybe rereading them again, or write a good paper, right? And so I think it's a mix of everything. And I think just like most things in life, there's a healthy balance between both.
This question is broader than just work, but really digging into the way that the way that we communicate moving forward. Some people going as, I don't want to use extreme, but being as cautious as wearing plastic gloves, other people not wanting to walk on the sidewalk with some people or be in an elevator with certain people. But then on the flip side, you have other people that are really open and ready to party, hang out, eat at restaurants, and then everyone in between. How do you think that's going to affect the way that we communicate and the way that we need and require human connection?
I think, you know, for me, I don't want to judge either side of them. And I think everybody has to have consideration of the other side. And so I think I have some friends who still say, hey, I will not go to any restaurants. I will still not be in public and really lock myself at home still until all of this is over, if it is ever over. And then I have some acquaintances that say, you know what, I'm ready to go out again. I don't have any friends that go out and party and have those infamous corona parties that they have at some places of the world. I don't have any of those. I do think the dynamic is going to change. And, you know, if we look back, at least in my lifetime, I mean, the precautions that we're taking now, whether it's on a plane, in hotels, or even in other business settings, those are definitely, I think, warranted to an extent, right? And so I think it's going to be really interesting year in 2021 with exactly the topic that you mentioned, like how do people interact when things are opening again, and how much caution do we really apply? I think the most important part is to apply some emotional intelligence towards the other side, right? It's very easy for us to think like us, but then sometimes we don't understand the other side. And I think that's where we create a divide. I believe we're in a time now where there's already too much division in the world anyways, especially in this country. So maybe let this situation with COVID and the two sides not be another one.
Got it. So paint a picture for me and the audience, what your workforce looked like pre-COVID. In the office, any remote or virtual team members, how many offices, where are people located? What did that look like?
So interestingly, I started a new job during COVID. So I became the chief people officer at AllCloud in May of 2020. So this week I actually had sessions with the entire workforce, and we're about roughly around 250 employees. Now those 250 employees are split between North America, which is the United States and Canada, and then we have Romania, Germany, and Israel. Now, so different time zones, different cultures, different settings in general. And of course, even in terms of COVID, some offices are completely closed. Like everybody in North America is on remote setting. The Germany office is open. The Israel office was open. It is now closed again as of yesterday. And then the Romania office is a mix. And so I had never met my boss in person, who's the CEO of the company. I had never met any of my department, any of my staff members. So the people that I work with that we call HR, employee success, I'd never met any of them in person. And so that to me is also very challenging, right? To be part of this new company where we normally, sit together, maybe enjoy a nice dinner, get to know each other, build some rapport. And then we're hiring a lot of people, right? We're going through growth. We're a tech company. We have a lot of awesome people that we want to onboard, that we want to welcome to the AllCloud family. And the experience, of course, is not optimal for any of those people either. And then plus, keeping our current workforce excited and motivated during these times is also challenging, right? Not only do we already have to deal with different time zones and different cultural settings, but in a session like this where we simply can't travel, right? In a normal world, I would have already gone to any of those places, but I haven't. And same with the other people coming over here. And so for us, we really try to be extremely conscientious towards the individuals. Like, how can we, where can we meet each other in the middle, figuratively speaking, in terms of having sessions that are not just, hey, we have scheduled sessions for an hour and then just business, but also have some small talk, so to speak, in it, and really build rapport that way.
So in referencing the topic, how are you going about and thinking about maintaining human connection while everyone is working remotely, especially with you dealing with different cultures in different locations and people taking different levels of precaution, whether they're forced or whether that's just how the person wants to operate during COVID?
I believe in the philosophy of, think global, act local. So I don't think the one size fits it all approach for us makes any sense either. Meaning we're trying to come up with certain initiatives. So for example, in EMEA, just last week, we had a cooking show or cooking class where we send a kit to all of the EMEA located employees with instructions, with different food items. And then we scheduled a Zoom session in the evening hours where, we had this big cooking class and we cooked a meal together and enjoyed a beverage together and just had some fun that way. In North America, we have something coming up that's fairly similar. It's, I guess, the same session minus the food, stronger emphasis on the drinking part. But we try to plan some of those fun sessions. We have certain, all hands meetings, ask me anything meetings, check in, open forums and town hall forums where everybody can just get together. And it doesn't always have to be a forced discussion or an agenda item. Like I said, we're trying to come up with individual initiatives also in the other offices where a smaller group of people get together. That is not so much company driven, like not forced by the company to do it, but more like from an employee component where maybe an employee says, hey, I have some people over dinner from the company when they're located in the same town. So we're trying to encourage a lot of that stuff. Like I mentioned before, I had just this week, I had three sessions about, meeting with Timo, since Tebow hasn't met anybody in person, and I left it very, very laissez-faire. So I talked a little bit about myself, of course, and what I get excited about, but then I left the forum open for anybody to speak up about any topic. And I believe it was fairly well perceived. And so we want to continue to have those sessions where they're not forced, but they're encouraged, and they don't always have to have a strict agenda item.
When you're thinking about maintaining this human connection between your team members, is it mostly to increase engagement? Is it to maintain performance? Is it just about employee well-being, or is it a combination of all of them?
You know, I believe it's a combination of both. Of all of it. I'm an advocate of physical, cognitive, emotional well-being, right? And so I don't believe you can have one or the other. So for example, Timo goes running during lunch. And that going out running during lunch gives me energy to be a better employee, to be more productive. And so same with this setting now. So for us, you know, engaged employees, it's not just a matter of like, hey, increase your engagement, increase your motivation so you can be more productive, so you can contribute more to the bottom line. Obviously, we are in the for-profit world, and we need to make sure we bring money into the door, but we're not just here to continuously driving that way without any consideration on the human. You mentioned something earlier that, you know, there's companies that consider employees the heart of the company, and I actually like that. For us, or for me, I believe our biggest value truly is the employee. And I know a lot of people say that, and it's in the core values of a lot of companies, and they have the nice slogans. But I believe we really, really practice that as well. We deeply care about our employees. We care about our employees' well-being beyond just their production for us. And so for me, the biggest driver is to find the right balance between, you know, getting good production out of our employees, but not necessarily to burn them out long-term either, but for them to have a healthy balance in life. I don't believe in work-life balance. I never have. That's Timo speaking now, because I have one life. That means, you know, I can go running in the middle of the day during my work hours, unless I have a meeting, of course. But I can also work on Saturday, and it doesn't bother me. So we want to make sure that we find a way that works for everybody. We have flexibility in place. We have, of course, certain quota and matrix in place also that we have to meet. But besides that, we really try to be as flexible as possible.
During this process of trying to maintain as much human connection as possible, what have you learned that really stuck with you? And what would you have done differently, if anything?
I have learned that that I really like my office. I mean, I really, really like going to an office. I have never not gone to an office, but to be able to get in my car in the morning and drive away from my house and then being in an office, I really enjoy. I really enjoy collaborative sessions. There's definitely times where I want to lock myself in a room and just get work done, but I really enjoy working on topics with others. And I'm realizing that more so now when I can't physically be in a room with people. Where in the past, you know, we got in the room, I mentioned earlier, we have a whiteboard session, we strategize, and then we put it on paper. That was always together in a room. And so now we can't have that. And so I really enjoy working with our CEO. He's has a little bit of a different mindset than myself in certain topic. And he's a challenger, right? And sometimes when we have those challenging sessions and he disagrees with me and I can't see him, well, I see him on Zoom and we have this debate, it would be much easier to do that in person than over Zoom. And so some of that stuff is challenging. It's still fun. It's just a lot more challenging. So I'm really looking forward to actually, you know, being able to meet people again. And I think it will be a healthy balance of both. I don't think we have to fly around the world every week. But I also think it'd be good to at least get out of your house or office space sometimes.
Timo, thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest and for being so candid and authentic with everything that you shared with our HR community. So thanks so much for being on the show.
Woo! Timo!
Thank you for having me. This is fun. I love it. Thank you, Bruce.
Awesome. So Timo, where can people find you and AllCloud online?
Well, we are on allcloud.io. Everybody, please check us out. I know we are on LinkedIn. We are on probably any social medium platform. I got to be careful what I say so I don't get in trouble with our chief marketing officer. I'm not the best when it comes to marketing, but I'm pretty sure we have a strong presence online. Please check us out. Please follow us. Please like us. Reach out to me personally on LinkedIn if you want, especially if you're looking for a job right now. We always love to add people to our All Cloud family, and I emphasize the word family here because we are a pretty awesome group of people.
Awesome, Timo. We'll be sure to include all that info in the show notes. So if you enjoyed this podcast episode as much as Timo and I did making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating because that shows that you care and that we're providing great content. Also, if this is the very first time you're listening to our podcast and you came here because you're either already a huge super fan of Timo and you just had to hear what he was going to say, or you thought this topic was compelling, but now you're hungry for more episodes, then please go to our website, sign up for our podcast newsletter, or you can subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast players. And last but not least, all of you awesome, awesome, awesome HR and people leaders, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.